So I mostly this morning just want to read a psalm that I found encouraging, and I was trying to decide which side to share this on. I've also just been thinking about a certain concept that I didn't necessarily link it with any particular thing in Scripture, but it's more just a concept that I think we can learn from in nature. Maybe I'll share that first, and then we'll read the psalm. They're not just necessarily very related, so there may be two topics today. But I also appreciated that song that we just sang that Leroy picked about thankfulness, because I think it has a lot to do with the psalm that I want to read. I really thought that was a good lyrics there to apply to our life and give God the giver of good things to us, that we can give him the thing that he desires us to give him back is thanks and praise for his works in our life. I appreciated that. So the thing that I've been reflecting on and thinking about is it's a time of gardening, really intense. That's mostly what I've been doing and working on is gardening in this time of the year. And I've just been reflecting on what is the state of my garden, the garden of my heart. Maybe to quickly get to the idea that the song that we have in our songbook about break your fallow ground. There's a thing that God has entrusted us, our body, our life, that he has given us to tend, that we're to be faithful in. When we first come to repentance and faith, I would liken this to like the beginning of springtime when you just till up the ground and you get this fresh garden. You're coming out of winter, and so in comparison to all the gray that you've been seeing, there's this beautiful new rich dirt and green leaves coming out of it, and no weeds, and there's this beautiful garden that we have. And maybe that's something that is just really this gift of God, that of a fresh start. There's hope. There's like a lot of I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of courage at the start of in the springtime, but then there's this thing that happens where the busyness of the year goes on, and the pressure of weeds and the scorching sun and, you know, keeping everything watered, and blights come in and grasshoppers come in, and you can get really busy with all the work, and then you go out to your garden one day and you say, where did all these weeds come from? Where, like, what happened to this plant? It was healthy yesterday and now it's keeling over. And so I think this concept, it's like it's easier to show your garden or something back in the springtime, but what does our garden look like in July and August? And so that's maybe the concept, if you understand what I'm saying, the concept that I've just been thinking on and meditating on is it's the endurance in faith that is just really critical, that every day in our life we're sowing little seeds that are habits that are developing that can produce good fruit and they can produce bad fruit. And so often we make, we sow good things, but we don't tend to them and they get overcome by weeds. And a year later you think like, boy, I had really committed to make this thing happen in my life, and now today it's just overgrown with weeds and it's no better than it was a year ago. And so that's just some points for reflection there. There's a lot that can be drawn out of that. But it's good to stop and look at our garden and see whether there's weeds there, whether there's things that need tended. Think back of goals we've had in our past and commit to tending and cultivating those things. And a lot of times just going back and refreshing ourselves in Scripture can point these things out in our life. Anyway, that's all I had on that thought. The psalm that was encouraging to me is Psalm 107. It just has a lot to do with remembering the salvation and the deliverance of God, remembering the loving kindness of God in our life. So I'll go ahead and read it. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul, and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God, and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Now they were humbled, and they were desperate. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of bronze, and cut the bars of iron in two. I guess one thought I had about the deliverance, or maybe connecting it to the thoughts in the garden, is that if we find our place in a desperate situation of needing a fresh start and a fresh slate, that's what I think this crying out to God and asking for deliverance, that he is there to help us. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. I find that interesting, just the use of that. He sent his word. It just kind of seems prophetic or messianic or something. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, and for the wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and declare the works with rejoicing. So that's our sacrifice that we bring to God today, is praise and thanksgiving. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord, and his wonders in the deep, for he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens, they go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wit's end. Like, that just shows a really people that are out in the sea and they get caught in this storm, just what a place of desperation, and all they can do is cry out to God. That's all that they can, all that you can do in a desperate situation when trials come. They cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that the waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet, so he guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people, and praise him in the company of the elders. He turns rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground. A fruitful land into barrenness, and the wickedness of those who dwell in it. He turns a wilderness into pools of water, and dry land into water springs. There he makes the hungry dwell, that they may establish a city for a dwelling place, and sow fields and plant vineyards, that they may yield a fruitful harvest. He also blesses them, and they multiply greatly, and he does not let their cattle decrease. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. He sets the poor on high, far from affliction, and makes their families like a flock. The righteous see it and rejoice, and all iniquity stops its mouth. Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. So I think this psalm just brings a really good encouragement to understand that, that wisdom is observing the works of God and His salvation, and just understanding the loving kindness that God has shown to us. That's all I have to share. Feel free to comment or if you have more things to say. God bless you.
Yeah, I appreciated that. The one thought that I was going to bring out or ask was like, speaking of the hope and the freshness of spring and the spring garden, like, how do you think that correlates with, like, say, having our first love?
Thank you, Brother Daniel. And I guess you've finished up the book of James, but the verse that you quoted four times, "Oh, that the men would praise the Lord for His goodness and wonderful works, children of men." I just quote one verse from James, where James says, "Every good gift and perfect gift is from above, who comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, no shifting shadow." So every good gift do we have, whether it's children, whether it's our husband, our wife, mother, father, brother, and sister, and most of all, the blood of Jesus Christ is a good gift. It comes from God. The Lord be magnified.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Very thought-provoking for me, just especially that kind of lesson from nature in the beginning there about how it's easy to show our garden in the spring, but then but how does our garden look in July and August? And I think about the virgins, the five foolish and the five wise, like, in the early spring, like they would have all looked the same, or like earlier in the evening they were all ready, but spring went away and summer came, and by the time the bridegroom came, half of them weren't ready anymore to go in with him. It made me think of the story, and Dwayne, I think you know the story better, about how at the cheese factory there that both of us worked at different times, about how I think the boss that had been ready and waiting for the inspector. Were you working there at the time?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I wasn't either. I think it was from my hotel. Okay, was it one of them? Anyway, yeah. Where they had been, they had heard that the inspector, I don't know if it's USDA or OSHA, but had been hitting cheese factories in the area, and were expecting him to show up, and I don't know, was it for about a week or something, like they were really ready for him, like they had everything cleaned up, everything ready, and were like anticipating, like being ready when this inspector comes and have everything in order. Day after day went by, and maybe a week or more, I'm not sure, and then finally the boss said, "You know what, just go back to normal, you know, he's not showing up." It's something about, is it, am I right that he said, like, if they come, we'll tell them we were ready for you last week. You didn't show up, but anyway. Anyway, thanks for sharing all that.